God. He can touch you here tonight. He can heal you here tonight. That blood is not all used up. It's still power in that blood. Hallelujah. And you can receive your healing right here tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I thank God for each one of those stories, and I thank God for everything that He's doing in this church. Praise God. God is doing such great things. You know, I don't even think that every testimony that God is doing is even making its way up here. You know, if we really got a grasp on what God has really done in each one of our lives, it's amazing when you truly think about it. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, as I said before, this is a special service, and we have with us some very special, I would say, speakers, but they're family, just like I was saying this morning. They're family, and they are well-renowned, if I may say. They travel all over the world. I'm not sure how many different countries, how many different states, churches, but I know that the Olivers, that God is using them in a great way, in a very big dimension. And what an honor it is to have them here at our church to share what Jesus has for each one of us here today. And let's just welcome the Olivers and let them come up right now, and let's let them have their way, and let's give God the liberty to minister to each one of us right now. Thank you.
Let's give that hand clap of praise to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, you are so good, Lord. You are so good. Well, thank you for that warm welcome. We have had a wonderful time with you. And I'm going to try to be a little carefuler tonight, because this morning I was just wasted on the Lord, I tell you. And I feel really good, but I'm holding back on this evening to get wasted. So God is so good. He is so good. Hey, I want to tell you something about our trip to Guam this year, because I know you guys aren't quite at one person a day. You want to get 365 for the year, and you're going to make it. Because let me tell you what's... Yeah, go ahead. Give the Lord a hand clap. Because I want to tell you a little secret. The first year we went to Guam, we just did the island of Guam. And we had, I think, 85 received the Holy Ghost on Guam that year. Isn't that great? 85. It was wonderful. And they were, for lack of better words, shocked out of their minds when they saw all these kids receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. And a lot of adults received the gift of the Holy Ghost. They did a mass baptism in a little swimming pool. And I tell you, kids were jumping in and getting baptized. It was wonderful. Well, last year, they said, we're going to take you to two other islands. So we went to Saipan and Pohnpei last year. And last year, between Guam and those two other islands, we saw over, I think it was 107 received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Isn't God good? 107! Wow! So this year when we go back, they said, well, since that didn't kill the Olivers, we're going to add another island this year. Oh, so we're supposed to go to Guam, Pohnpei, Saipan, and Koshai this year. Now, here's the great thing. Okay, now, I don't know how you tally things up here, but we're all kingdom-minded, right? Right. And when you support us like you do, that 107 that got the Holy Ghost last year, to tell you the truth, I think you can add that to your chart on how many people got the Holy Ghost. I really do. Because you are supporting that, okay? So this year when we have 3,000 receive the Holy Ghost, just mark it on your chart. I tell you what, I don't want to hold back anything from the Lord. I don't want to say, well, we'll have 108. Okay, let's think largely, because we serve a big God. We serve a big God. Give him another hand clap of praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, only there's one other thing before we do the four steps of worship that I want to do tonight, because the Lord's laid this on my heart just a little bit. I know not everybody's here from this morning, but we did have 11 receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and I see some girls on the front row smiling. If you were here this morning and you received the Holy Ghost for the very first time, will you stand to your feet? We're not going to make you say anything, but just stand to your feet if you received the Holy Ghost for the very first time. Look at this. Isn't that great? Now stay standing. Don't sit down yet. We had adults that got the Holy Ghost too. Now, if you were here this morning and you spoke in tongues, I want you to stand up. I'm doing this for a reason. If you spoke in tongues, adults too, if you spoke in tongues, I want you to stand up. Look around at all the people that were here this morning that spoke in tongues, that they got the Holy Ghost. Isn't that great? Give God a great big hand clap of praise. Now, you may be seated. This is our Pentecostal athletics that we do, standing and sitting and clapping. But I want to tell you something. You know, a little while ago, we went and we fellowshiped with everyone for about 5 minutes. Doesn't that feel good? To see people and greet them. And we serve a God of everything. He's a God of everything. And you know, when you fellowship with other people that have the Holy Ghost, you have so much in common. As a matter of fact, you have everything in common, because we serve a God of everything. Now, if you don't have the Holy Ghost in here tonight, I'm not going to ask you to stand, because I don't want to embarrass you. But let me tell you something. It shouldn't be embarrassing, because each and every one of these people that stood at one time, they could not stand. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. Now you can have the Holy Ghost tonight. And perhaps, just perhaps, somebody didn't come up and greet you. Or maybe you even feel just a little bit out of place because you didn't know what to say to people. If you let Jesus move into your heart, the God of everything, then you're going to have everything in common with everybody else here. And it's so easy to talk to people when you have everything in common. So tonight, it's your opportunity to feel Jesus. It's your opportunity to get a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost if you already have the Holy Ghost. And it's your opportunity to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost for the very first time. You have something very special here. And you know, I could say it's Pastor Roy Grant, Bishop John Grant, and they are special. But what you really have special here is Jesus. It's Jesus. Let's give him one more great big hand clap of praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask you to do the four steps of worship with me one more time. When we were on the island of Ponape, a very simple place, all dirt roads. They probably have more dogs there than they have people. But I'm going to tell you something. When they did the four steps of worship, you could tell they loved Jesus. And it was such a wonderful thing to see little boys and girls praising and worshiping the Lord with the four steps of worship. They weren't looking around to see what their neighbor was doing. They had their eyes closed, focusing on Jesus. And the teenagers, they weren't looking at each other and thinking, well, if they do it, I might do it. Nope. They all had their eyes closed, tears coming down their face. Big old boys, pretty young ladies. And the adults, they all got involved. They don't have a whole bunch there. So when they were told that they could have everything through Jesus, oh, they wanted it. They wanted it. And the elderly people, when they knew that, you know, their life may not be quite as long as other people on that island, and they had a promise of going home to heaven to be with Jesus, a wonderful place. What a paradise. They were glad to close their eyes and worship Jesus. I'm saying all that for a reason. Sometimes we get a little spoiled in what we have. Because we are allowed to come here every Sunday and feel Jesus. And nobody really pushes and pushes and pushes you. But when you leave these doors, the world's going to push you to do bad things. And you kids know what I'm talking about. The teenagers know what I'm talking about. The adults in here know what I'm talking about. The devil knows his days are numbered. He knows that Jesus is coming back soon. And he's going to do whatever he can in this world to keep people from drawing close to Jesus. But you have such a wonderful opportunity tonight to feel Jesus. Because I don't know about you, but I want to go to heaven someday. Do you want to go to heaven someday? Yes! Oh, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be fantastic. So tonight, let's show Jesus how much we really want to go to heaven. I don't care if you already have the Holy Ghost. This is even a special time for you to talk to Jesus from your heart, to make sure you're as close as you possibly can be. It's always great to talk to Jesus, no matter what. So I'm going to ask the kids to sit with your back against the back of your seat, with your legs hanging down. Again, if you have anything in your hands, please put it beside you, because we're going to be using our hands in just a couple of minutes. Very good. Very good. Let's do these, not for Brother Oliver, and not even for your pastor, but let's do these for Jesus tonight, as best as we possibly can. Like Jesus is coming in the next 5 minutes, because it's a possibility. The very first step in the steps of worship is so easy, and that's just to close your eyes for Jesus. I like to think how wonderful my eyes are. Jesus has given me two eyes that I can see different colors, different shapes, and different sizes. And my heart cries out for people who cannot see. I have compassion that Jesus has given me and he's given you. But with my eyes open, I can see so many wonderful things. And I pray that other people that can't see will be given that gift. But it's up to Jesus what he wants to do in people's lives. If seeing is going to keep them from heaven, I'd rather them have the Holy Ghost and make it to heaven. But when we think how wonderful our eyes are, just think how much information your eyes give to your mind. And that's why we close our eyes. Because sometimes we have so much information when we look around, it makes it very hard just to think about Jesus. And the great thing about closing your eyes is that with your eyes open, you really can't see Jesus in a physical form. But with your eyes closed, you can. Because right now, you can picture Jesus on the cross where he died for you. You can actually see Jesus on the cross. You can see where they pounded those great big long nails into his hands and into his feet. You can see the crown of thorns that they pressed upon Jesus' head. And you can see the blood dripping down into his eyes. I'm sure all those things must have hurt terribly. And my heart cries out for Jesus because I know the pain that he suffered for me and for you. But I want you to look at Jesus' eyes right now. He's not sorrowful that he's doing that. His eyes are looking at you in love. And if he would speak to you, he would say, "I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this because I love you so much. I'm doing this because I want you to go to heaven with me." Jesus loves us all that much. So keep your eyes closed and keep that picture in your mind. You can see Jesus with your eyes closed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The second step in the steps of worship is just to lift your face just a little bit. Because Jesus doesn't want you to hang your head in shame. Because when we picture Jesus on the cross, we also remember all the bad things that we've done. But Jesus died for all those bad things that you did. You don't have to hang your head in shame. But when you come to him, all you have to do is cry out and say, "Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me of all the bad things I've done. Clean out my heart, Jesus." And now your heart's all cleaned out when you mean that. And you can lift your face, not in shame anymore. That's what Jesus wants. The third step in the steps of worship is also very simple. Jesus has given you the ability to raise your hands. So we need to raise our hands to praise him, to worship him, to surrender to him, to reach out to him. Give him glory by raising your hands tonight. That's it. That's it. And Jesus is so happy because you've got your eyes closed and your face lifted and your hands raised. And he's just so excited about the next step where you're going to talk to him. He wants to hear your voice tonight. He wants to hear what you have to say. So let's use our loud voices right now and talk to Jesus from our hearts. I love you, Jesus, and I praise your name. I thank you, Lord, for all that you're getting ready to do right now, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your word that we're going to hear. I thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy. How good you are, Lord. Thank you for everyone that feels you tonight, Jesus. Thank you for all those that receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You are wonderful. You are glorious. You are mighty. He's here tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Can you tell him you love him tonight? You say the words, "I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I'm so thankful I know you, Lord." Hallelujah. Can you think of something that you're really thankful for? And just mention that to him right now. "Lord, I'm thankful for health. I'm thankful for a roof over my head. Thank you for your provisions, Lord." Hallelujah. He loves it when we worship him. That's what we were created to do. That's why he made us, so we would worship him. And the good thing about it is you can't do it wrong. So many things in life, people will correct us and say, you have to start that over. You have to erase that. You have to do that again. You're doing that wrong. But this is one thing you can't do wrong. We have freedom and liberty to worship. Brother Oliver gave us 4 easy steps. That's just to help you connect. And let me help you understand that the things you see people do here in this church, maybe it's your first time. Every single thing you have seen, we can show you in this book. The Bible says to lift up holy hands. We raise our hands because the Bible says to. We would never ask you to do anything that isn't in the Word of God. And what a wonderful thing that we can come together and worship the Lord. We are so happy that we can worship the Lord with you one more time. We will be leaving, and it went by really quick again. It always does. But one of these days, there'll be no more parting. We'll be together forever. Someone once said, if you don't like me, I hope you like me real quick, because you're going to spend forever with me. I don't think there'll be any of this. No, I don't want to live close to them. Put my mansion on the other side, Lord. I think we're going to all love one another. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? Stretch and wiggle or whatever you got to do and get ready for the word. I'm not going to take a long time tonight, so don't get panic stricken. We're just going to be here a little while longer. Then we're going to come to this altar. Jesus is going to pour out his spirit. Anybody that wants the Holy Ghost, you can have it tonight. If you don't know what it is, you're going to know in the next few minutes. You came to the right place. Will you turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. While they are getting that on the screen, for those of you that don't have your Bible with you, I want to say thank you, Brother Grant, Bishop Grant, once again, for this great opportunity. I want you to know something. We were in 53 churches last year. We travel all over the United States. We've been across 46 states now and 5 foreign countries. But we mention this church very, very often. Very often. Matter of fact, there's a church that had us come. A large church flew me in on a Monday for Monday night altar training. And we helped them set up what you have here in the altar. So I want you to know we esteem these gentlemen highly and this church. We love you. You don't ever think you don't have a good thing going on here, because you do. Don't go anywhere else. This is where you belong, right here. There's nothing better. It doesn't get any better than right here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Yes, we do peculiar things. We are a peculiar people. And it's okay, because the Bible says we are that. If you're not peculiar for the Lord, you're probably not completely out of darkness. Because once you come out of darkness into his marvelous light, you become peculiar. I'd like to speak to you for the next few minutes on this subject. Get out of the dark. Turn to your neighbor and just say it with a lot of force. Get out of the dark. And you may be seated. Now, children, put your back up against the back of your seats. Boys on the front row. Get back in this place you were and let him have his chair back. Oh, my. This is a mess up here. Thank you, Sister Nicole. That's why we have our fearless leaders to take care of these messes. Don't we love our children? Aren't they beautiful? Now, I am up here, but I can still see you. So I want you to put your back up against the back of the seat with your legs hanging down. Take those wiggly hands and hook them together and put them in your lap. And don't go anywhere while I'm talking. Stay right there. Okay? Because I do have something I'm going to show you in a few minutes. I want to talk to you tonight about coming out of the dark. There are two things. There are light and dark. They are opposites. Dark and light never mix. When you go into a dark room, it remains dark until you turn on the light. The two cannot stay in the same place together. God is light. Satan is darkness. There is a scripture that we won't take time to turn to, but it says God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. We also know when we get to heaven, there will not be need of a sun or moon or stars because Jesus will be the light. When we see Him, He will be the light in heaven. I want to go there. But from the time we are born, the devil tries to keep us in darkness. He does not want us to walk in the light of God's word. I have something with me tonight I'm going to show you in just a minute. I want to talk to you about a toy tonight. A particular toy that all of us are familiar with. Most of us have probably owned one or played with one some point in our life. It's called a jack-in-the-box. Now, I'm not talking about the hamburger place. Some of you that travel, you know what I'm talking about. There is a hamburger joint that has a funny little guy up on the roof. They used to sell hamburgers in the 50s for 18 cents. And it was called Jack in the Box. But I'm not talking about that, so don't get hungry. I'm talking about the toy, a Jack in the Box. The origin of the Jack in the Box is really interesting. In the 14th century, there was an English prelate. His name was Sir John Shorne. He was a leader in a formal religion, and he ruled his people by making them believe that he had cast the devil out of their city. That the devil could no longer bother the people in North Marston in Buckinghamshire, England, because he had cast the devil into a boot. There are pictures that are painted. They hang in Catholic churches in Europe today. If you walked through the Louvre in Paris, where I have been, you will see a painting of Sir John Shorne, garbed in his robes and scepter, holding a boot. And out of that boot is the devil peeking out. He convinced the people of his village that he had cast the devil into a boot and the devil couldn't bother them anymore. Well, that's a nice thought in theory. I don't believe anybody has the power to cast the devil anywhere, and if I was going to, I wouldn't put him in a boot. Of course, Jesus put him in some pigs once. The demons, the stories in the Word. He cast them into some pigs. Those paintings live yet today. Someone saw that painting of the devil peeking up out of the boot, and they decided to create a toy. They took a little box, and they put a little jester down inside the box and put a lid on it. And when you turned the crank, when you least expected it, out from the box would pop this little toy. And the name came Jack in the Box. A sea captain saw this while sailing in England and brought the idea back to America. He said, "Oh, I have a little boy that I want to bring him a special toy." And so he created what we now see. It was all made out of wood. a toy in a box. The early form of the Jack in the Box we know from the 50s. The tune was Pop Goes the Weasel. You ever heard that tune? Now, the deal with the first Jack in the Box was when you turn the crank, the song came to the end. When it got to the end, out pops the clown or the toy. Now, they get a little tricky. They've made the Jack in the Box so he pops out mid-song. You never know when he's coming out of there. Sort of like the devil who lives in the dark places. You never know what he's up to. There was a childhood song I remember. I don't think children sing it too much anymore. The devil is a sly old fox. I like to catch him and put him in a box. I lock the door and throw away the key for all those tricks he's played on me. I want to talk to you about coming out of the dark. Light and dark cannot dwell together. The devil of this world, his name is Satan. He was once called Lucifer. He was kicked out of heaven with a third of the angels. They're not sitting around frying hamburgers waiting on hell. They're busy. Their time is short. They only have one goal in mind, and that's to take every single person they can to a devil's hell. The Bible calls it outer darkness. The people in the last days, when Jesus comes back, they will meet Jesus face to face, and Jesus will either say, "Yes, you've walked in the light. Come in to the joy of the Lord." He'll welcome you into eternal light where there will be no more night, where Jesus is the sun and moon. Hallelujah. You'll be welcomed into heaven. Or he'll say, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I knew you not." And you'll be cast into outer darkness. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Outer darkness means a place of woe, of despair, of torture and pain. We don't want to talk about hell. We want to talk about happy things. But the reality is, if you don't have the blessings of God on your life, if he's taken his hand out of your life, if you won't let him touch you, if you're here tonight and you've already made up your mind, when they say come up there and the music starts playing, I'm going out the door. If you already made up your mind that you're not coming, you are walking from light back out into darkness. I asked a congregation of people one night, I made the mistake of saying, "Who is the God of this world?" And they all said, "Jesus." I said, "Who is the God of this world?" They said, "Jesus." I hated to embarrass them and tell them the God of this world is not Jesus. The God of this world right now is the devil. It's Satan. He's the God of this world. You can't serve two masters. You'll hate the one and love the other. You got to make up your mind. I'm going to serve Jesus. I'm going to walk in the light. I'm going to be ready when he comes. It's not that difficult to live for Jesus. The devil will tell you a lie. He'll tell you could never do it. You could never fit in. You couldn't be good enough. You can't belong. That it's hard. That it's embarrassing to receive the Holy Ghost. That you really don't want to do this. He'll tell you all kinds of lies if you'll listen. Because sin will always take you farther than you thought you'd go. I asked the Lord one time, "Well, if the devil already has so many folks, he already has somebody that's living a very sinful life. They've got all kinds of addictions and they're committing all kinds of sins. They're stealing and they're lying and they're murdering and they're cheating. And if they're already doing all that stuff, then why don't they leave them alone?" You ever think about that? Why didn't he just leave them alone? If he's already got them and they're not going to heaven because they're living in sin, why won't the devil leave them alone? You know why? Because he's not happy until you're dead. He's not happy till you are lost in sin, in darkness, and then you're dead. Every spirit that works and operates in this world calls in a bigger one. You have a little child that throws himself out on the floor. And they scream and they kick and they have a temper fit. You know, I'm not going to, at my age, I'm not judging jury how to do it. Because I raised kids and I know I didn't do all the right things. And I probably made lots of mistakes. So when I see things and I see parents not handling things the way I would, I give them the benefit of the doubt. I don't know. It's different for every kid. But I have one little granddaughter that decided one day when we brought her inside, she did not want to come in from the outside. She wants to out there and play. My oldest granddaughter, Gabby, she's 9 now. I'll never forget it because she was my first grandbaby. And she was a tiny little thing. I don't think she was quite 2. Very stubborn. She threw herself out and she started wallowing on the kitchen floor and kicking her legs and screaming bloody murder. And just rolling and thrashing around like somebody demon possessed. And her mom was getting ready to grab her up and wail on her little and I'm watching the whole thing, and her mom's looking at me because she's a young mom, and she's learning. And so now Gabby's butting her head against the island like somebody's lost it, you know. She's banging her head because we're not responding to the wailing and thrashing. Finally, I stopped, and I motioned to my daughter. I said, come on. We walked in the living room, and I said, now, Gabby, that floor was awfully dirty. And I'm so glad that you've decided to clean it up for Meemaw today. So could you roll around a little over here and a little bit over there? Because there's some spots. When you get it all cleaned up, you come on in with Mommy and Meemaw. We walked in the other room and she's thrashing a little more. Next thing I know, she got quiet. She looked up and her eyes were real big. She peeked around the corner and she came truckling in. She forgot all about her offense. We're born in sin. We are born sinners. We're born to do naughty things. We act like we're demon possessed when we're real young. We're not. It's our sinful nature. We have to fight against the sinful nature, the darkness that's in all of us. We have to fight it. You see, when the toy maker created the toy, he first made a little stuffed animal. He sewed it together so sweet and put little eyes on it and had it all ready to belong to some little child. The toy maker in his creation believed this was going to be loved. It was going to belong. Someone was going to sleep with it at night and cuddle it. And the toy maker passed it on down the assembly line where it was put down inside of a cold metal box. The cold metal box was sealed shut, put inside a carton, shipped hundreds of miles away to a toy store. There it was unloaded with all of the other toys and placed upon a shelf. There it sat on the shelf in the toy store. The Creator wanted so much more for it than where it was. The Creator had in mind for it to have a beautiful existence, a lovely life, to be loved, not to be hurt, not to be shut away in darkness. You have a Creator tonight. When Jesus died on the cross, when he bought us, when we were formed in our mother's womb, he never meant for one of us to live in darkness. Hell was created for the devil and his angels, not for you and I. Outer darkness was never meant for us, but the Bible says it's enlarging itself every day because people are dying every day and going there.
your Creator meant for you to be loved. He meant for you to come out of darkness. But so many people have hard lives. They're abused, they're shattered, they're hurt by people who should love them. They find themselves in darkness, and sin will always take you farther than you thought you would go. That little child that's laying on the floor having a temper fit now grows up. Mom and dad didn't correct it. And now they're a teenage boy. And when they get mad, they curse and they throw things and they slap at their parents, and they're unruly and they get kicked out of school. And you see, that spirit of temper has called in now anger. It's gotten a little bigger because the devil will take you further and further. I asked my bishop, Brother Sisko, one time how this worked, and he explained it to me. He said, "Vicki, every spirit ends in death. The devil won't give up until he kills you." Now, this angry boy who needs help, he needs counseling, he needs God. Oh, yes, he's violent. Now, anger's called in violence. Now we've got guns involved. Knives. We got prison involved. Anger pent up. Everybody tries to help him. The world does the best they can. But what the world doesn't understand is you can't get that out of somebody. It'll only take them further and further. Professional help will help only to a degree. But that individual has to come to an altar and say, "You know what? I got to be delivered. I got to have Jesus in my life. I got to have light where darkness once dwelt." You got to make up your mind. I don't want to live this way anymore. Because the day will come. It will come. That it'll be in the paper. Oh yes, because that violence calls in murder. The final spirit that takes its toll is murder. We read it every day in the paper. It's getting worse and worse. Why? Why is there more? Because the spirit world is working overtime. Because they don't have much time. Jesus is getting ready to split the sky open. He's coming back. We got to be ready. There's no devil too big present in this building tonight that Jesus can't just shine the light on. And it has to run. Hallelujah. It has to flee. It has to go because he's the light. There is no darkness in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your Creator wants you to come running to him. He didn't create you for darkness. And that little toy, you ever feel like you have just been a toy in the devil's hands? He's just messed with your life. Every time you thought you were getting ahead, every time you thought your health was better, every time you thought things were going your way, all of a sudden you just felt all over again like a toy. In the devil's hands. There it sits on the shelf. For sale. Dusted, put back. Moved around. Put to the back shelf. Moved to the front. Moved out in the front of the store. That poor little toy on the inside doesn't think it'll ever be loved. Until one day, along came a little boy with some birthday money. "I can buy anything I want with my birthday money?" "Sure you can." He hesitates. He picks up many things on the shelf, but he's drawn to a little yellow-green box with a red lid with a crank on the side. "I think I want this. I want to take it home. I want it to be mine." It's purchased. You were purchased. Jesus bought you. Maybe you've been on the shelf for a while. Maybe you've been in prison. Maybe you've done drugs.
Maybe you're addicted right now. You can hardly sit here. I'm telling you, you saw these testimonies. There were so many more. Delivered from drug addiction. Delivered from prison. Set free. Hallelujah. There's so many more. Delivered from alcohol. Delivered from cutting. Delivered from all forms of abuse. Delivered from a broken heart. Set free from pornography. They're all sitting among you. You look around and you think, I'll never fit here. Oh, you fit just fine. Hallelujah. You belong right here. Because such were some of us. Hallelujah. But there was a God who reached way down with a hand, a great big hand. Hallelujah. And set us free. Hallelujah. When that hand came down. Hallelujah. When the hand came down, the music begins to play. You come to this altar and you close your eyes and you lift your face and you raise your hands. And you just be honest. God, I don't understand all this, but I know I want to make heaven. I know I want to change my life around. I understand that I'm in the dark. I got to get out of the dark. I've tried to do things my way. Now I want to do it your way. But I got to have your help. You see, it takes something bigger than we are. A big hand has to come down. You can't do this by yourself. Don't think I can get to heaven on my own. You cannot. None of us can. It's going to take a great big hand to reach down and touch your life. Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. Please forgive me. I promise you, you get in this altar, you'll hear the music play. That big hand will come down the minute you ask him. And that one that's been toyed with by the world, that's been bound, that's been hurt, that's been broken. I know it's coming, but I get scared every time. I get surprised every time. Even though I know he's getting ready to do it in this altar, I'm surprised every time. It's a wonderful thing to watch Jesus reach down into the lives of men, women, and children and set them free. It's that simple tonight. You want to come out of the dark? All you got to do is come running to the light. Let Jesus reach down with his hand. Hallelujah. He'll fill you up with light. When the light comes in, it pushes the darkness out. You won't have to worry about your bad habits, your addictions, your problems, because the more light you get in, the more darkness goes. You say, I'm having trouble living this, Sister Oliver. Then get some more light. You won't have trouble living it when the darkness goes. Hallelujah. Don't say, I can't. I can't. Yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. But you don't know where it came from, Sister Oliver. You don't know how bad it is. Let me tell you something. It doesn't get any worse than that man in the Gadarenes. He was cutting himself. He was naked. I don't see anybody naked, thank the Lord. I don't see anybody out here like that that has to be chained, that couldn't even walk out of the bus or out of the car and walk in here. And I don't see anybody like that. However, if you were, Jesus stepped foot off of that boat. The Bible says he came running. Oh yeah, he came. He was possessed. Doesn't get any worse than that. He was full of darkness. He belonged to the devil. But there was enough of him left that he came running to the feet of Jesus. There's nobody here that can't do this.
He came running, and immediately the devil spoke through him in fear. Why? Because they were at the foot of light. They said, what are you going to do with us, Jesus?
I think that's so funny.
They were scared to death. They tremble in the light. They were exposed. Jesus, what are you going to do with that? Wasn't the man talking? He knew what Jesus was going to do for him. That's why he came. You come because you know what Jesus is going to do for you. He's going to deliver you. He's going to set you free. The music's going to play tonight. You're going to hear heavenly music. He's going to reach way down. Now, I'm going to walk down here because I don't want this to be scary. And I'm just an old grandma, so I don't scare people. But I want to tell you something. When I get tired of packing my suitcase, it happens. I've been traveling 21 years, every weekend. We were in 53 churches. I told you that last year. That's more churches than there are weekends. Two overseas trips. When I get tired, and I do, I talk to the Lord. This one time, I said, God, I'm tired of hearing my own voice. You hadn't lived till you're tired of hearing yourself talk. God, I'm tired of flapping my jaws. I'm tired of saying the same things week after week. Yes, I just use different props. I say the same stuff. In case you hadn't noticed. People are probably tired of me too. So could it be time for me to stick my suitcases under the bed? Spend time with my grandkids? Because I'm just tired. Brother Huck, I'll never forget what God said to me. He said, Vicki Oliver, how do you think I'm going to judge folks? Because when I come and every person has to look me in the eye, every message they've heard, you see, they're going to see a jack-in-the-box sitting up on the pulpit. They're going to see a birthday party set up. For those of you that have been around here a while, they're going to see a boat. Get in the boat, stay in the boat. They're going to hear your voice. They're going to see your face. And I'm going to say, do you remember that service when it was as made as easy as possible? When she walked the aisles with the tears rolling that surely are not fake, and said, if I could get you to that altar any way possible, I would do it. We are going to be judged by what we've heard. I'm begging you tonight. Jesus is coming. I've never felt more certain of it in all my life. We are living in the last hour. Jesus is coming. Now there are some precious folks that are going to line right up here with me. They're altar workers. I want them to come right now. My adult altar workers. You say, well, what are they for? They are trained people from this church to help you pray. When you come, you need to say to them, or they will ask you, how can I help you? It's okay for you to come and say, you know what? I'm just in dark. I'm in the dark. I got to get out. It's okay for you to say, I'm addicted to drugs and I need deliverance. It's all right for you to say, I'm tormented with fear and anxiety. And I don't want to go like this one more day. Whatever it is, they're here to help you. They're not going to hurt you. They're not going to make you feel uncomfortable. These people are filled with the Spirit and they're ready just to help you. Now would you stand to your feet? Is there anyone in this section right here that you'd like to come for prayer? Anybody? Don't leave without coming to the front. We got some folks up there so you won't feel lonely. Would you like to come? Come on. I saw the Lord working on you earlier. He's got something for you. Come on with him. Don't make him come alone. Come on. Anybody else? Would you come? Anybody? You want prayer? All right, come on. Anybody in this section? I'm just coming back. So, you know, sometimes people take my hand. It's scary to walk up there all by yourself. Anybody want to come? Want to come? Come on. Come on. I'll walk with you. Anybody else? Come on, honey. She says, I'm coming. She doesn't need my hand. She's coming to get something. You know what? She's going to get it too. Don't hesitate. Come on. Come by yourself. Don't start praying for him yet. We're not done getting him up here yet. Let's do this in order. I bind confusion and distraction in the name of Jesus. Anybody in this section? In the name of Jesus. Anybody in this section? Come on. Come on. Anybody over here? I feel like there's somebody way back here I need to come get. Anybody? Come on, honey. Tonight's your night. Tonight's your night. Anybody else? There's somebody way back here. I'm coming to get you. You girls want to come pray? I won't let them bother you. Come on. All right, let's sing. In the name of Jesus, we're pushing back the darkness tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands, raise your face, close your eyes. Let's begin to pray.